and something we ought to think about. And generally speaking, we think about resolutions for the new year. And yes, this isn't a sermon that's meant to instruct in what we should do to become a Christian. This is really for us as Christians and what we should do during the coming year. It's almost here. And I know that many people, me included, sat down and make some sort of a mental evaluation of what's gone on in the last year, of current status, and what should I do the next year? And we call it making the New Year's resolutions. And I'm sure many of you do the same thing. It's obvious we can do a resolution any particular day or days. You know, there's nothing really magic about waiting until New Year's, but the start of a new year gives us a more definite and comfortable time to do it. Perhaps it may be, depending on how far away it is, a convenient dodge to delay any job that we might have, like losing that pesky 10 pounds that we have that we shouldn't have, or cleaning out the garage that we should have been doing anyway, but be that as it may. Humor aside, I think when we think about resolutions and the appropriate time to start them, change behavior, there's some things that come to my mind, and I've got three that fit that specific criteria. As we begin a new year, I'm reminded of one thing, acutely reminded of it, and perhaps you are too. Probably you are. On January 1st, tomorrow, whether we want to think about it or not, we're one step closer, one day, one increment of time closer to three major events. And three major events that every one of us is going to take part in. It's just the first day of a year, but more significant in our evaluation. The first thing, and I sigh, it's kind of a tragedy, if you wish, is one event that we're closer to, the day of our death. That's kind of a bitter pill for some of us to think about, but it is. It's either the day of our death or the day the Lord will return. One or the other. Any particular day, we're one day closer to the day when we're going to stand before the Lord in judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Yeah. An appointment, we can't duck it. It's coming our way, one way or the other. Considering the judgment of our actions that have taken place during this earthly sojourn, this life, what we call lifetime, we need to consider the reality of both of these things coming. Absolutely. Absolute finality. And then there'll be the day when the Lord will say to us individually a pertinent evaluation of our job performance related to this life. This is the third event. It's A or B. First choice, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's found in Matthew 25, verse 34. And Jesus said the other one would be, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Ouch. However, Scripture tells us our final job evaluation is going to be A or B? Well, since we're 1 year closer to our final destiny being determined forever, eternally, let me use our time together to stir up yours and mine, my thinking of how we individually have handled our last 364 days, 8,760 hours, if you're counting, of life during this past year. Perhaps to suggest some resolutions for you that you might want to consider for the coming year. I've considered them. I hope you will too. My goal is really to encourage you, us, as God's people, as Christians, to be more productive in how we're going to use the next 8,760 hours in view of the judgment that awaits us. And that's what it is. Okay? Let's begin with a review of what we need to do while we're here in this life. It's a universal requirement or universal application. What did Jesus the Christ say we needed to do during this life in view of everlasting judgment and a review of our performance during this earthly life? Let's look in the book. Well, the first requirement, I'd go to Matthew 7, verse 21, and this is making perhaps a judgment. And the text reads, "Not everyone says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And then in Matthew 22, a little bit later on, it was a discourse of Jesus. And he was talking with a lawyer, a scribe, and the scribe says to me, "Teacher, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And a second like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments rest the whole law and the prophets." Look in 22. We usually think of this as the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler asked the same question. Well, in verse 38 there, Jesus came on with that talk about the second commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself. And I'd say the second job requirement for us as Christians is to love one another. Yes, love all, but specifically, we're called upon to love one another. In John 13, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." He's speaking to Christians. "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." The incident with the lawyer, again, he did the same thing, but he talked about the neighbors. What did Jesus say? What's the golden text as we think of it in the Bible? John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know that, and you know all these points as well. Well, so let's look at our performance during the past year for a couple basic but really pretty significant criteria. Now, each of us can decide if we need improvement. P.S. I do this to myself as well. You have evaluation for yourself, but you really understand what's being considered here. So, in the past year, the last 364 days, has our relationship with God and Christ improved? Let me try that again. Has our relationship with God and Christ improved? Because I'm of the belief that our relationship changes, hopefully it changes for the better as time goes on. Someone, a babe in Christ, they have a relationship, but as they mature, as they study, as they learn, their relationship should grow stronger. Well, consider James 4:8. James said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Great point. If we draw nigh to God, God will be with us more than in the starting situation. James went on and said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And that's not very encouraging either. Oh, yes. Can one say I've really attended so many worship services that I don't have to learn anymore? Really? In attending a worship service, do we really gain significantly each time? Perhaps we need to think about this a little bit further. It's obvious that attendance at church meeting is essential, but it doesn't necessarily totally change our relationship with God. I'm inclined to say the real indicator of our relationship with God isn't while we're here in the building. It's when we go out the back door and go into the community, go into our homes. Think about that one. And then, bearing in mind that a relationship, whether it be a human relationship or our relationship with God, starts out with communication. Listening and talking, if you wish, in the human venue. Have we been faithful to listening to God? You've got to answer these questions yourself. I've got to answer them for myself. Have we listened to what God has spoken to us? Have we listened to God explain how we're supposed to worship Him? How we're to show other people that we've actually absorbed the Word by our conduct? To people at the store, the supermarket, the whatever store it may be, do they see Christ living in us? If they don't, maybe it's time for us to go back to the book. I really mean, instead of listening to, reading. Here it is, the Bible, the written word. Yeah, God's instruction to us, individually and collectively, for all time. Another year's gone by, and here's the question. The evaluation criteria. Did you read the Bible through last year? 364 days, a lot of pages. Let's see, I'm in Matthew, 1,385 pages, but very doable. We'd read the newspaper, we'd read anything, but maybe not the Bible. Well, if we didn't, or if we've never taken the task recently, can we honestly say we're talking about this relationship with God? Seriously? Honestly? Let's even lower the bar a little bit. Really a lot. Did we even read the New Testament last year? 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, reading the New Testament in a year. Well, how well did we use that 10,080 minutes that each one of us has been given each week? 25 minutes to read the Bible out of 10,080. Pretty small amount. But did we do it? Let's go a little bit further on this walk. We know that effective communications is really a two-way street, isn't it? If I want to have communications with Sam, I've got to speak to him, I've got to listen to him. God's the same way. We just talked about listening to him through the Word. How about talking to him in prayer? We steadfast with this. Do we do it? Do we do it frequently? Or do we do it only when there's an event of a crisis? We've tried everything we can do, and then we pray. No. The Bible's full of events and activities when what was the first thing that happened? Especially if we go back in the Old Testament, we'll see a lot of cases the prophets were going to do something, or Moses or Joshua, take your character. Before they did things, they prayed first, not last. They prayed first. Fervent Bible study should be joined with fervent prayer. That means serious stuff. What about prayers for the sick? Jerry announced a list of folks that are sick that would really covet your prayers. Have we taken time to do that? Prayers for our nation. And we know our nation needs prayers. Prayers of thanksgiving. Excuse me, for our daily bread, our food. Thanksgiving to God for all the blessings that He showered upon us. And we've got a lot to pray for. Did we take time to do it? Okay. Since our degree of prayerfulness to God may have increased, stayed the same, or dropped down, you evaluate your own case. Has it increased or decreased this year? You decide. God already knows. Now let's talk about another evaluation criteria. Has our relationship with the brethren improved this last year? From this point on, I've got to say, really, I understand we've been through a period of time quite different from anything that's happened within the last couple centuries, even in our country. We've been through this period of time when COVID and other potential health issues have been there. And those issues were like a roaring lion just waiting outside our door to devour us when we went outside. I understand all this. I've tried to dodge COVID too. Or RSV, or ABC, or whatever the disease of the day is, I've tried to dodge it myself. I have to say, my own performance in this criteria, has our relationship with our brethren improved? And my next criteria also. I have to say, personally, I'm not sure my situation is any better than anybody else's. I ask God's forgiveness daily that I've failed. I've been an unprofitable servant in His area of service. Okay, let's look at it together. Has my relationship with the brethren in the congregation here improved? It's easy to say, well, of course it has. I see him every week when I attend services. Well, a quick test is, and this is an individual test, it's a great one. Every one of us, sometime during the day today, every day, is going to have a mirror in their bathroom or whatever, and look at that person in the mirror and say this question. I've done a great job in improving my relationship with the brethren. I've really improved things over the last year. Now, that mirror won't talk back to you, but you'll know the answer, won't you? That person in the mirror is going to look back and say, Twitchell, you have messed up badly. You have not done well. Well, has our love for one another, the brethren, increased this year? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Concerning the love of the brethren, you have no need that I write to you. You yourselves are taught of God to love one another. For indeed you do it towards all the brethren that are in Macedonia. But we exhort you, brethren, that you abound more and more. Not just where you are, continuing on even more. Paul was serious. Be close to each other. Could one say this means like being best friends? Now, here's how the application goes, and perhaps subcases of this criteria that we might want to just casually think about along the side. Just the number, and you can kind of look around yourself. Have I been in the homes of any of my brethren in the last year? Have I been in the homes of any of my brethren ever? Have any of them been in my home? Do we even know where our brethren live? See, you can talk to yourself in the mirror and come up with some kind of answers to these. Each week, we may end up with visitors coming into our services. Do we make an effort to know them, to say hello, know their name, know where they're from, perhaps know a little bit about them? It's a frequent dodge to say that this belongs to the elders and the preacher. We don't have those. But even if we did, we might say, no, that's not my job. That's their job to do. And that's not what Scripture says. If you look at Scripture, in the case of the requirements in 1 Timothy 3 about the requirements for an elder, it mentions only hospitable and apt to teach, and being the husband of one wife or the wife of one husband, different from anybody else. It's a universal requirement for all Christians. We got a job to do and to decide on. Every Christian gets that opportunity. Every Christian has that requirement. How do we get to know another member of the congregation? Well, it probably isn't coming to worship services, I'll tell you that. So many people, and you've seen it too, take the last instant to dash through the back door to have a seat, and before the last note of the last song is over, they're out the door. Hard to meet people in that case. But the social side's even more. Even though we've got to stay away from communicable diseases, something that needs to be done. The first century did that, first century church. They were great on fellowship. They met and had everything in common. And they had more problems facing them than we've got facing us. I'm convinced. They had a government that was against them. They had most of the population that would have been perfectly happy if they'd been eradicated, killed. But yet they met, they fellowshipped, they knew each other, they loved each other, and the church grew. As a congregation, we collective, and I'm part of this, so I can look in the mirror about myself. We've forgotten fellowship. We don't meet together. We don't laugh together. We don't enjoy each other. And that's where we're going to be. And the church was admonished, the first century church, admonished to meet, to eat, to have all things in common. They did it despite persecution. They did it despite famine. They did it despite everything. And again, the congregation grew. My third evaluation point, has our relationship with the world improved? Look at the important responsibility that we have towards the world. And I just mentioned Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Familiar passage. Jesus talking, the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, you, he's really speaking to his disciples, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp, but put it under a bushel, but on the stand, and it shineth into all that are in the house. Even so let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What's this tell us? One, it tells us we need to be a positive influence. You're the salt of the earth. Verse 13. We need to demonstrate Christianity, following of Jesus, as a better way. That's verse 14. Have we made any progress on this activity during the last year? Made any meaningful relationship changes with the world, those round about us, our neighbor? How are we like most of our neighbors? And I've got this problem too. The problems of the neighbors in our day and age. Living next to each other but not really knowing each other. We got to change that, folks. Have we forgotten the lost art of what's known as Southern hospitality? Yes, we have. Another year's gone by. We made good time, good use of the time that the Lord has given us. Let's apply the words of Paul, the Philippian letter. I don't count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the high and upward calling of God in Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:13 and 14. Pressing forward, let's look at some resolutions we might make. Yes, we, me, and you, even today, because tomorrow starts our new year in Christ. Considering our performance for the last year, what's our plan of improvement for the next year? Well, first, resolve to draw closer to God. I'm going to start out, and I do it every week on the announcement sheet, a reading plan whereby we're going to read. And that's not just scan, it's read. Think about what the text is saying. God's living and abiding word. Yes, really the Old Testament and the New Testament, but certainly the New Testament. Also, we're called on to be diligent in prayer. Now, if you ask me about being diligent, that probably suggests I've got to do something every day, maybe even multiple times a day. In the Colossian letter, Paul used a term, and we recoil about it. He says, pray without ceasing. We think, oh, that can't be done. We might really ought to think about that. We might think about, as Daniel did back in the Old Testament, Daniel set aside 3 times a day for prayer. Well, okay. Resolve to become closer to the brethren, the members of the Lake Hills congregation. Those congregations round about us. How about learning everybody's name, learning where they live? We may have some ideas about likes and dislikes, but more about it. Maybe we might even talk about fellowship, family to family, and within the congregation, fellowship meals. Yeah, I believe that we, as a group, should reinstitute this to do it and do it well. It'll be to our benefit. Get to know our neighbors better. If we don't, shame on us. By having one new neighbor, one co-worker in close proximity that we can talk to, we've done what Paul tells us to do. By visiting one new neighbor a month, no, one co-worker a month. Maybe that is it. Doesn't have to be a formal meal. Amazing what we can accomplish over a cup of coffee or a glass of sweet tea. And that hospitality makes a whole difference in the world. You are the salt of the earth, the light, the city that's the light of the world. That's us. Finally, in conclusion, I want to just wrap this up. Some suggestions that may sound academic. They may sound simplistic. It's too easy to do that. Well, that's true. But if implemented, they go a long way towards what we should really be doing. The kind of lifestyle that Christians should live, that you and I should live, and we know it. To increase that closer relationship to God, closer relationship to our brethren, closer relationship to those who may be lost, not within the community of Christ. Living them out, these plans that'll weekly walk will bless our lives, and we'll be a blessing to the lives of the people round about us. And that's not bad either. Closer walk with God. Remember, time is a precious commodity. It really is. It's given to us by God. God Himself gives us that time. James, in his letter, has an analogy that really strikes me. It says, life is like a vapor. We don't know when it's going to end. We've seen, you all have seen it too, a person who's vital and active and everything's going great one day, the next day, calamity has befall them, and they're dead. Life is like a vapor, truly. Paul told the Ephesians, we've just been studying the Ephesians in the morning class, that we're supposed to redeem the time, to make our best use of it, Ephesians 5. Well, this isn't a regular pulpit lesson. Some thoughts that I've had for myself, I have, and I feel it ought to be shared with you, will make us better Christians in 2024 than we were in 2023, and on as long as we live. If you're not a Christian, it'll make you a better person. But if you're not a Christian or a child of God that strayed away from the Lord, it's time to reconsider a spiritual relationship with God. It's time to make the best use of time that we can. Even with suggestions on how we can improve our lives during the coming year, we know that God speaks to us as an invitation. From Genesis to Revelation, He's made an invitation to us. Come unto me. Invitation from Jehovah God to establish a covenant relationship with Him. And it's easy. No, that's false. It's direct, and we know it should be done. We should hear the word. We should believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. We should repent of our sins. We should confess Jesus before men, a group, people. We should be baptized for the remission of our sins, washing away our sins, taking on that new relationship with God, and then starting the Christian walk day by day. Well, we also know that after we've established that covenant relationship, it isn't much time before we start to have the problems. Earth stains come to us, the sins of omission and commission. And we need to reestablish that covenant relationship. In James, the writer says that if we'll pray one for another, God will forgive sins. Even this morning, as we gather together, we don't know your spiritual condition. Maybe you need to go the initial plan of salvation. Maybe you need to have sins cleaned up in your life, that once again you would establish that covenant relationship with God. We stand ready to help you, whatever your spiritual needs might be. And if you would, let's consider that. Let's start off the new year in a covenant relationship with God, drawing closer to God day by day.